Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Trying to read a few verses here and give you a simple thought that the Lord's put on our heart for the service tonight. Probably won't keep you very long. Don't know how much voice we'll have for the service, but it'll be all right. Desire your prayers that the Lord would help us tonight to give unto you what He's given to us. Nehemiah chapter 4, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We all are fairly familiar, I think, with the record of Nehemiah and the building of the wall. And how we know in chapter number 1 about how that many of the people of God had been carried away captive. But there was a remnant that was left in Jerusalem. Nehemiah's in the palace of the king of those that have taken him captive, and some of his brethren come in chapter 1, and he asks concerning the remnant that are in Jerusalem and the city. And they bring word not of joy or gladness, but of sorrow and brokenness. And they said the remnant that are left of the captivity are in great affliction and reproach, and the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, and the gates are burned with fire, and Jerusalem lieth waste. Right. Now we have to understand all, and I don't have time to get into all the typology, but it was more than just Nehemiah's homeland. But Jerusalem was the center of worship. It was that place that God honored, that all the people, when we read in the Psalms about the Psalms of Ascents, that they would go up. Everybody was going up to Jerusalem to worship. That was the place when they talked about Mount Zion. They talked about the joy of the whole earth. That's what they were talking about. The city of God, Jerusalem, that center of worship to the people of God. And now what Nehemiah is hearing is not just that place that he loved, that he grew up, but that place that God had honored and blessed for so long had now fallen to captivity and was in affliction and great reproach. And so Nehemiah said, "I sat down when I heard the news, and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And he said, "I and my father's house have sinned." And then he goes back, and by the grace and mercy of God, finds favor in the eyes of a heathen king to go back to Jerusalem. Not only to go back, but he finds favor in that the king gives him letters to supply the material to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah comes. He goes out alone. He and some few men with him, and they view the city, how bad it really is. He comes back after he views the city. He begins in chapter number 2, I believe it is, to address the people. And he said, you see it, the great distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lot waste. And he said, come now and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. So the people band together. And in chapter number 3, if we were to take time to read it, it talks about all of those men and their families and their portions of the walls and the gates that they begin to build. And then in chapter 4, we read about some opposition that comes against. We begin where we begin reading tonight. It speaks about Sanballat and Tobiah. We also read about a man by the name of Geshem, an Arabian, who is all against, and their people are against what the people of God have set out to do. They try to discourage them. They try to hinder them. Later in the chapter, they threaten to come and war with them to distract them from the work they're doing. But I'm interested tonight, if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes, and I won't keep you very long. It ain't going to be nothing fancy to give you tonight, but it's what's on my heart in verse number 6. After Nehemiah prays and all these have spoken their peace, he said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the height thereof. So they have completed at this point half the work. And he said in the latter portion of verse number 6, for the people had a mind to work. And I began to think about that, and the Lord began to stir in my heart about having a mind to work. I looked up that word mind, and it don't mean what we think it does as far as our intellect or our thoughts, but really more often is it translated heart. I looked it up in Strong's Concordance about 500 plus times. The same word for mind in the Hebrew is also translated heart, and it really means a resolution or a determination of the will of an individual. In other words, what Nehemiah is saying here, and I'm not trying to add to or take away or change the scripture, but in our understanding, what Nehemiah says here is the reason it got done on top of the blessings of God, and we'll get to that in a minute. But he said the reason we went on and prospered is because the people were determined to do the work. I thought in these days we're living in, we ought to be able to relate to Nehemiah and the opposition that came against him. They were opposed at what Nehemiah stood for. They were opposed at what Nehemiah set out to do. They were opposed at who Nehemiah was. And we're living in days where the world is opposed to what we stand for, who we represent, and what we're trying to do today. And many people have let the world's opposition stop them from the work. Many people in this day, and I'm not going to call any names or badmouth anybody, and I'm not talking necessarily about anybody here, but I'm talking about the church world as a whole. In 2020, we faced opposition like the church as we know it. Now, there have been days in the past where the church have faced greater persecution and opposition than we have, but as far as our generation, we have faced opposition in the last year or so that our generations have never seen before. And many people have walked away from the church, and they may never return. Many people have laid down the work and may never pick it up again. I thought about, and the Lord began to deal with my heart. This scripture just come from Him. I hadn't read it. I don't know how long it's been since I read it, but this verse and this thought came to my heart this afternoon, that the people had a mind to work. And I thought, what was it? Why was it? Is there anything in the Scriptures to tell us or let us in on why there was such determination from the people to do this work? And I thought about in verse number 17 and 18 of chapter 2, the Lord directed my heart there. And I want to say it's because of they saw the great need for the work they had to do. In verse 17, the Bible said, Nehemiah is speaking here. He said, "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, and how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Nehemiah said, we're in bad shape. There's a great need for this work to begin. And I thought we didn't begin the work, but it's been given to us to carry on. Jesus told the disciples that others labored, and now they're entered into their labors, and that's what we have done. Those that have come before us have begun the work, but now the work has been given to us, and there's a great need to carry on in this day. The church, the walls are being broken down. And the gates are being burned with fire. And there's so much. It's like what Brother Tim was talking about this morning in Romans 12. There's so much in the book of Nehemiah of types and pictures and applications to us, especially in our day, that we could talk about the walls. It was for protection. It was for separation. It was to keep in what was to be in and out what was to stay out. And now without the wall, there was no separation. And we're living in a day in the church world where there has been a breakdown in the separation between God's people and the world. The gates, when we read about them in the Word of God, most always in the Old Testament, the gates are always associated with praise and worship, coming into the house of God, coming into the city of God. And I fear in this day that most people have got their mind on all the turmoil and the trouble and the problems, and we have begun to be, and I'm just going to preach for a few minutes and I'll be done. But I thought we've begun to be like the children of Israel when they were carried away captive, and they walked down by the brooks, and they said, "We hung our harps on the willows." They said, "We cannot sing. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" In other words, their song, their praise had been taken away because they had focused on so much of their circumstances, that they were in a strange land, and so are we. That they were oppressed by those that hated them, and so are we. That they were downtrodden, they were discouraged, and in this day, so are we. But we can still sing the song of God, even in a strange land. There's coming a day, just like it was in the lives of the people of God, that the Lord turned again their captivity. He delivered them and brought them out. And there's coming a blessed day. It's not a hope to be and maybe, it's a will be, that the Lord will turn again our captivity and deliver us out of this world we're in. They said when the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dream. In other words, they said it was so good, it didn't even seem to be a reality. And I'm telling you, when we get out of here, the writer of the song said that we sing so much, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. It will seem like a dream, but oh, it will be a reality for the child of God. So Nehemiah saw, and the people saw their great need. But then I want to say, they, and I just got these three things the Lord put on my heart. They had a mind to work because they saw the great need. They had a mind to work because of the grace and mercy that God put on them. Nehemiah said in verse number 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me." Nehemiah said, "I told them how I was over yonder in that foreign land, how it was against the law for me to show sadness of countenance before the king, how that I was the king's cupbearer, how that the king inquired concerning my countenance, and I just told him everything that was in my heart, and how that God took the heart of a heathen king and gave me leave and gave us material in order to build the walls again." In other words, what Nehemiah is saying is, get up. There's a great work to do, but God is for us. And I'm telling you in this day that many of the people of God, I don't know exactly how it's come about, if it's come about because we're overwhelmed, if it's come about because we're so discouraged, if it's come about because of our great affliction and reproach, but Nehemiah reminded them that they were still the people of God. And the people of God in our day, the church needs to be reminded we are still the people of God. And if we have a mind to work, God will prosper us. Oh, there'll be days when we face ridicule and opposition. Here in this chapter that we read in chapter number 4, this man Tobiah the Ammonite, he said if they do build the wall, a little fox will go and he'll break down their wall. It won't stand. The other Sanballat said, "What do these feeble Jews? Are they going to get all the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish? Are they really going to try to do what it looks like they're going to try to do?" You say, "What? That's pretty cruel." Well, we're living in a day where the world watching the church says, "Are you really going to try to live for God in these days? Are you really going to stick to the old time way in these days? Are you not going to compromise? Are you not going to be conformed to the world? It'll be a whole lot easier if you'll just do what we do and go where we go and act like we act and talk like we talk. But may I remind you tonight, God is for us and we are still the people of God." Then I thought, "Now I'm done tonight." They had this mind to work, this determination, this resolution inside them because of the great work, because of the grace of God, and then because that it was a good work that was before them. He said in verse number 18 in chapter 2, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me." And they said, now Nehemiah's not the only one encouraged. Now they're picking up. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. The word good there means right or valuable. Now I'm going to tell you, we're in a day where there's a good work to do. And as I said already, I talk about songs a lot, but there's one come to my heart and my mind this evening. And I didn't know it. I mean, I knew the chorus very well, but I didn't know the verses too well, so I looked it up. And it says something like this: "In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark and hear the master calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name." And that began to stir my heart. I knew that part of the song. But then verse number 2, I read it and I thought about, here we are on the side of the road in this little white building while all the world is going up and down the road and they have no idea what we're doing here. As far as they know, it's a waste of our time. There may not be a whole lot of us here, and I'm not knocking that, but I want you to hear, and I'll have to read it, of what the writer said. He said, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? I wonder about Nehemiah. He said, I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. He said, I just got up in the night, me and the beast I was on, and we rode through the city. And he said, I looked at all that had to be done. And in Nehemiah's mind, I guarantee, he's thinking, Lord, I'm one man. What can I do? The majority of the people of God, mind you, are still in Babylon in captivity. But there's just a small remnant left in Jerusalem. That's all Nehemiah has to work with. But this is what the writer of the song said. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? And that's not talking to just preachers. It's talking to all the people of God. What your place in the body, as was mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning, sometimes it seems like nobody ever notices that nothing good ever comes, that we're not making a difference. Does it feel that way to you sometimes? But the writer said, it is great. If God is in it, for He'll not forsake His own. And that began to stir my heart. It's the place you're called to labor, very small and little known. It is great if God is in it, for He'll not forsake His own. Little is much when God is in it. You say, I don't have much. Just give your little. If it's given in the right heart, the right attitude, with a determination to work for God, even in these last days, watch God take little and make much of it. What He did for the lad, we think those days are over. But I'm telling you, the Lord's still doing the same thing today that He did that day on the hillside when there's 5,000 men besides the women and children, and there wasn't nothing to eat, and a little boy had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But the Lord took little and made much out of it. Yeah. And He's doing the same thing in our lives today. If we'd just have a mind to work, a determination, a resolution of our will to work for God in these days, to walk with God, to worship God. God began to deal with my heart about worship, and He began to put questions in my heart about why it is we come. How is it that we come? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. That word glad means to cheer up, to brighten up. What David was saying is, I might have been down because of my circumstances. I might have been down because of my situation. I might have been discouraged because of what was going on around me. But when they said, let's go to church, he said, it cheered me up to go to God's house. We've mentioned it. I've mentioned it. Some mentioned it this morning. We've mentioned it in the several services. But it's a shame. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else. But I want to say, in our hearts, sometimes it's a shame that it takes not being able to be here or to make it mean something in our hearts again. It ought to be a joy, a glory, a gladness to come to the house of God. We're all flesh. We all get in a rut. We all get in a routine. We all come out of duty, out of obligation. But I sure am glad for the opportunity and the privilege to be in the house of God. I'm glad the Lord put a desire in me to want to be here. And somebody said it this morning. I'm not calling anybody out or making fun of anybody or nothing. Not saying anything. Please don't take it wrong. Somebody made the statement this morning. They said, I'd rather be sick and miss a few services than to be scared and miss them all. I'm going to tell you, I know that what's going on out here, there's a reality to it. There is sickness, there is turmoil, there is trouble. But I'm glad when somebody says it's time to go to church, there's somebody greater inside me that says, let's go and see what God has. There are days my flesh don't want to go. There are days I'm tired. There are days we're just being honest tonight. There are days I don't feel like coming, but I'm glad for what's down inside me, that there's a gladness to be here. I'm going to tell you, you can't get anywhere else what you can get in the house of God. They don't sell it at Walmart. They don't give it out on vacation. You can't get from God anywhere else what you can in the house of God. And there's something very great and special about assembling together in like mind, in one accord with the people of God, to worship God, to work for God, and to walk with God. I'm glad it can be done still in this day. Lord, help us all to have a mind to work, even in these dark days. There's a reason. There's a great need for it. And I'm going to tell you, one day after a while, it'll pay off in the end. Little is much when God is in it. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this tonight with your people. Thank you for each one that come this way. Bless those, Lord, who are not able to be here. I pray you bless them. Lord, I ask you tonight that you allow this word of God, not what I said, or my words, but Lord, with your word, find its lodging in the hearts of the hearers. May it accomplish the purpose that you have set forth for it to do. May it encourage and strengthen us and help us in these last days to carry on in the work ahead of us. Lord, on those days when we feel discouraged, when we feel down and out, when we feel